I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today we have Vicky. Vicky is a mum of one, originally from Germany and now living in Japan. She arrived in Japan at 3 months pregnant with her husband, and at that time she knew very little about giving birth, and she noticed that very few of the hospital staff spoke English, so she realized she needed to do her own research, which led her into learning about natural birth. And at 6 months pregnant, COVID-19 and lockdown happened, and she was faced with the fact that most Japanese hospitals wouldn't allow her partner or any support people to be present at the birth. She therefore searched for an alternative way of birthing and found a traditional Japanese birthing center. And in this episode, we get to hear about how that led to Vicky giving birth peacefully to her daughter via Yuna in a traditional Japanese house with her partner. Curious about Vicky? Find her on Instagram as Pregnant in Japan.
Hello, Vicky, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for having me. In general, I'm really good. I just have a little cold and I'm coughing a little bit, so I do my best.
No worries. We are happy to have you with or without a cold. And if we do hear that your voice goes in and out, we know why. And if you need to have a cough here and there, that is fine. So I know now that you are from Germany, but you're actually living in Japan and you had your baby in Japan. So we get to hear this marvelous story to have a baby in Japan.
Thank you, Anna. Yes, correct. I start from the beginning.
Absolutely. Take us through how you ended up in Japan and how you ended up birthing your baby there as well.
Yes. So my husband and I, we got to Japan in December 2019, and because he got a job offer, and I was already 3 months pregnant. So we did a whole movement and the changement while I was already pregnant, and it was quite hard at the beginning.
Yeah, I can imagine being in your first trimester and maybe feeling a bit sick and tired. Those early weeks are the hardest for the body, isn't it, when you're growing that little baby inside?
Yes, exactly. And I had all the hormones kicked in, and it was my first pregnancy, so I didn't know anything how it could be. And we had to look for an apartment and to arrange everything. But actually, the hardest thing was to find a facility in Japan. And we live in Tokyo, and in Tokyo, there are not that many people who speak English. It's hard to imagine, because you would think it's Tokyo and people speak English, but no. So it's also not very typical to change hospitals a lot. We changed hospitals to have a look at it, because, of course, I wanted to feel comfy at the place where I give birth, and to get to know the doctors, to get to know the midwives, to feel good, you know, to feel comfortable. But that's actually not what they do here. They just register at a hospital, and all the checkups are at the hospital or at the birth center. We ended up changing hospitals 3 times, and once I thought I found the right hospital for me. It was more of an atmosphere of a clinic. It was smaller. It was not too far away from us. There was one midwife and one doctor who spoke very good English. That was in spring 2020. And then suddenly COVID happened. And what they did in Japan and in many other countries too, they started to ban the birth partners, so doulas and husbands, from the hospitals. I said, it's not possible to do that without my husband. You know, I'm even though there was one midwife and one doctor at the hospital who spoke English, I wouldn't be sure that they would be on duty when I give birth.
Yeah, and of course you want to have your husband present. Gosh, to be birthing your baby at any time, but especially as a first-time mama, all by yourself in a foreign country. Gosh, that must have been so scary to get that news for you.
Yes, it was. I didn't mention that, but I don't speak Japanese. Now I get into it slowly, but we just came last year, so I didn't yet. And that was an absolute no-go for me. I said, I can't do that. I want one person I can rely on, and that's my husband.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was already in week, I was already 5 months pregnant at that time, or even six. Mm. And I said, okay, we're going to look for something else. So then we checked all possibilities in Tokyo. All the husbands were not allowed in the hospitals. And there was this last option, either giving birth at home or at the birth center. And I found this birth center with a very experienced Japanese midwife, the director of this birth center, and she had this really holistic and natural approach, and I really liked that, and I really got into all the in this topic, you know, about breathing exercises, about meditation, about hypnobirthing. Actually, when they sat at the hospital, they can't, because I'm saying this in a minute, but it was a whole process of several weeks. I started to realize I might be alone giving birth, or alone, yeah, basically alone, with nobody I can rely on. So I gotta take this matter in my own hands. And that's why I started to do so much research on giving birth and getting ready and reading books on, I don't know, hypnobirthing, but also the meditation and affirmations and visualization. So when I got to the birth center, I already had this all going, And then the midwife even inspired me even more. Little things like, she said to me, Vicky, you have to walk. You have to walk 3 hours a day. Like, what? I have to walk 3 hours a day? She said, yes, 1.5 in the morning, 1.5 at night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, I said, okay, it's not any harmful medicine she's giving me or any chemical drugs. I'm just going to go for it. I'm not going to question anything she says. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to try it. She's experienced, and I will trust this lady. And so that's one of the things she said. And but she also said things that were quite different from my home country, like eating no milk products. Yeah. And also not eating fruits. In Germany, yeah, it's quite different. So yeah, that was one of the little things, you know, all this process. It was so different from Germany. And, you know, fruits also have like kind of sugar. So I reduced the fruits I eat. I, of course, all the sugar. And she also said to cover all my joints, so my elbow and my knee, my legs with cotton socks. So I had this really thick cotton socks I was wearing, and it was already warm. It was like April, May, and but I did all that, and I think it was worth it.
Wow! So she said to cover your joints. What was the reason for doing that?
I'm not exactly sure. But she always said you have to keep your body warm, and a way to do it is to cover your joints with cotton, you know, and materials. And I remember I had this big belly, and I was going for the checkups more often to see her, and it was getting so hot in Tokyo, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't wear it. But I just went through it to follow her advice.
Beautiful. Well, the whole walking thing, I think, is a very clever thing, because you need endurance and you need strong muscles in labor. And walking is the mildest kind of form of exercise, but it's very good for the body, and it regulates your hormones, and it works on the whole system, doesn't it? So that's a good advice, I would say, to any woman listening. That's a good sound advice. I would say do that. I'm not sure about not eating fruits, but yeah, who knows? Maybe that's a clever thing too. Who knows?
She said there's too much of natural sugar in it, so I should eat a lot of vegetables. Yeah. Well, I think it's always to find a way what feels good for you, and find the middle way to, yeah, and feel comfortable with what you do. And I felt comfortable with walking a lot and reducing the fruits. So
beautiful.
Yes. Well, so I spent, while switching to the birth center, I did quite late. I was in around week 34 or 33. And I remember when I came the first time to this birth center, it was, I don't know if any of you out there know the typical Japanese traditional houses where you have tatami mats. Have you heard about tatami mats? It's they are very traditional Japanese mats. They are soft and out of a straw, like dried grass. And they are soft, and Japanese actually put thin mattresses on this tatami mats to sleep on it. And during the day, they folded together the mattresses and put it in a cupboard. And then they have an additional room.
Wow.
So it's a bedroom and a living room.
Mm.
So it was a house like this. And it was maybe just like five rooms in this house. and just two bathrooms, and six rooms. Four of these rooms were rooms for new moms with their babies. And the other one was kind of like a living room. They had a piano in it, and also all the checkups were there. And the other room was like the labor room, but it was just a regular, it looked like a living room. And that's also where we had the consultation, the first time consultation. And she spoke English, and her name is Susan, and she said, "And this room, this is," and we were sitting on the floor. That's how you do it in Japan. Yeah, everything's very low. You have low, you don't have chairs, but you have low tables and you sit on the floor. And we were sitting on the floor and she said, "And in this room, you will give birth to your baby." I looked around, I'm like, in this living room? I didn't say that, but I thought that's something that's so different that I don't know. I didn't know from anywhere before. Yeah, but it ended up, I ended up there giving birth there. Yeah, so we decided to stay with this birth center. And I really just had, I think, 3 or 4 checkups there. Because my baby came early.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk us through that. You say your baby came early. So was that early term? So you were at 37 weeks and beyond, or was it preterm?
It was actually 37 a week and the first day.
Brilliant. Well, you were term then. So you were early, but you were not too early. You were still in that term month. So great. Okay. So please share with us, what was the early signs of labor approaching for you?
Yes. I give birth from Monday to the night from Monday to Tuesday. And the early signs, I think, when I think now back, were maybe a week before. I started to get really moody and I got annoyed. As I said, we just came a few months before to Tokyo and our apartment wasn't decorated. We were late. We were late with getting everything ready for getting all the stuff for our baby and buying, I don't know, clothes or anything you need for a baby. And actually, we were also late because in Japan, during that time, it was the state of emergency and all the shops were closed. And it was, you know, and it's not like we had any friends here who already had baby, who had a baby who could give us anything. And it was just even more stress, you know.
Yes, of course.
I also, it's so funny because I really pushed to go to the hairdresser because I wanted to go to the hairdresser. The funny thing in Japan was that all the hairdressers were open.
Oh, so they were not in a state of emergency. They were an essential business. Love it.
Yeah, so in this week where I had my moody week, I went to the hairdresser, even though my husband said, you know, you don't sleep well during nights. Just skip this appointment at the hairdresser. It's okay. You can go later, like next week. And somehow I knew, and not consciously, but subconsciously, I knew it's now or never for the hairdresser. So I went to the hairdresser during this week, and I also, the first day before I gave birth, I had this appointment with a woman, a midwife in Germany who does hypnobirthing. We had regularly appointments with her, and we did exercises with her. And this first day, it was actually the first time I cried on the phone. I said, I'm not ready, the apartment is not ready, and I need to do more visualization. I need to do more affirmations. I need to do more exercises. Although I put all this pressure on me, although I did, I think at least for pregnancy during the day, I did at least 4 hours a day something.
Wow.
And the walking, the meditation, the exercises. And she said, you know, Vicky, there's always more you can do. But you and your husband, you did already so much about preparing and getting ready. Don't stress yourself. It's okay. You are ready. And that was the first day. And I remember I sat after the phone call, I sat down on my bed where I always do my meditation. And I put my hands on the belly and I said, we knew it was a girl. It's a girl. Little baby, you can come whenever you want. I'm ready. And that was first day. And on Saturday, we walked to the next district because my husband wanted to get a good camera for the event of birth. And it was a walk of a half hour one way. And when we walked there, I already had like some waves or contraction, whatever you want to call it. I always had to stop. And I said to my husband, stop, wait a minute. I need to breathe through these waves. But I said, okay, these are some kind of Braxton Hicks or some kind of preparation waves. It's okay. I actually appreciated them because I said, it's wonderful. I have a good, it's a good opportunity to exercise the waves.
Yeah, to practice taking them and breathing through them and learn them when they're still small compared to what they might be.
Yeah, correct. And I was so convinced, or we were both so convinced, that she would come because she was due on June 15th. And we were so convinced that she would come June 15th or later. So I wasn't worried at all that weekend. And then we came to this district and my husband went to the shop to check the cameras. And I know I wait, and in front of the shop, there was a big rug, and I was sitting on the rug waiting for him and breathing through my waves. And then he said, he came out of the store and he said, okay, next we are looking for shoes. I'm like, I don't think, I don't think I can do this anymore. I think we have to go back. And then a week we went back home, I got some waves, but it was okay. I could handle it. And the night I slept pretty good. The next day was same thing. We went to a temple. In Japan, they have a lot of temples. And I wanted to get a blessing. That's what they do here, to get blessings at a temple. So I said, I'm going to do it the Japanese way. I get a blessing at a temple. At every temple, there's a big bell that you can ring. So you ring the bell, you clap your hands twice, and you ring again and you clap again your hands, if I remember correctly. And then you go there's like a mini temple next to the big temple, and you just pick some kind of cards, and they have different kind of blessings. And they are either good ones or bad ones. If they are bad ones, you leave them there. If they are positive, you take them with you home.
Okay, what did you get?
Oh, I had something positive. I don't remember what it was. Something good will happen, or something general like this.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then you can also buy there this wood, especially for pregnancy. The wooden wooden sticks, where you can write something down. And we picked the one for pregnancy, and I just wrote down, I pray for a healthy labor. Mm-hmm. And then you leave it there at the temple. Yeah, that was the Sunday. And the night from Sunday to Monday was the first night and where I woke up a lot and I had a lot of waves. Okay. And I woke up my husband in the middle of the night and I said something like, okay, I think this is a little bit, it hurts a little bit. It starts to hurt. And because he's very loving and very caring. And, you know, he did all the stuff with me, like the hypnobirthing and the walking 3 hours a day. And, but somehow he said to me, it's okay. Just lay down and sleep a little bit.
Oh, he wants to keep on sleeping. That's why.
Yeah. And so he just continued to sleep and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. but I know it's just because he was so convinced that, that the baby would come later and it's just like a Braxton Hicks and you can, and practice the breathing. And this night from Sunday to Monday, I slept very bad. Because of the waves. And on Monday, I had a regular appointment for a regular checkup at the birth center with my midwife. And I wanted to cancel it because I wasn't able to sleep the night before. And my husband, he pushed me, said, hey, take a cab, because usually I would take the train to go there and it's like switching two times trains and Tokyo is busy, you know. And just take a cab and go there. And Susan, the midwife, she will just see if everything's all right. And it's just because he convinced me to go there, I went there. And I told her about that I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep well. And I had some, let's say, I don't know what I said, pain maybe. I don't know. And she said, okay, wait, let me check. And then she said, oh, wow, Victoria, you are dilated 3 centimeters. You will get your baby today or tomorrow. And I'm like, well, actually, I don't think I said anything. I think I started to cry.
Oh, was that crying of relief? Or?
Well, I think I was just so surprised, you know. I thought I have so much more time, or at least 3 weeks. And okay, there's no way back, you know.
Yeah. And during this time, were you having regular contractions at all? Or did that like kind of fizzle out in the morning after the night? Or?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mention that. Yeah, in the morning, I didn't have any anymore.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. Although in the cab, I did maybe 1 or 2. But yeah, like you said, it faded out.
Yeah.
It was not as strong as in the night.
Wow. But what, you did some good work during that night. You had done a lot of work getting to 3 centimeters.
Thank you. And that's what I thought too. And that's why I was so surprised about my husband, who said like, oh, it's okay, go back to sleep.
Well, I guess both of you thought that this was early practice contractions and that you would still go for weeks with.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so I took a cab back and she said, my midwife said before, well, get your bag ready and come back if contractions get to just 5 minutes apart. Or if your water breaks. Okay, so I went back home. My husband was in home office working remotely because of COVID. And yes, so how was it? I said, well, everything's fine. We have the baby today or tomorrow. He's like closing his computer. He's like, okay. We have to get ready.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
So we just did last minute preparations, like getting my favorite candy, and which I didn't eat at the end, but I don't know, the last shopping and getting the apartment ready. And that was like in the afternoon when I came back. And at 6 p.m., it started to get dark here in Tokyo. And the contractions came back, or the waves came back. And so we knew now it's coming closer. I put on my favorite pajama that I prepared before. We laid down together in the bed, and we had lots of pillows. And my husband was laying behind me. We had the meditation music in the bag, and every time I had a wave, he went with me through it. And it was like 2 hours like this. We were together, and it was such a peaceful atmosphere because I kind of knew how to breathe through these waves. And we were just so comfortable in our bed. You know, we had some candles, and it was dark, it was cozy, and 2 hours later, 2 hours and a half later, I suddenly heard this sound like a big bang. I don't know if it's normal that you hear it, but it was really loud, and I got scared. But the water broke, that's what was it. So everything was wet. And
yeah, sometimes it can be a big pop happening. Yeah. Scared you of it. So you were lying in bed, and then your waters broke.
Yes. And my husband called the birth center to tell them we are on our way. And I don't know if it exists also in other countries, but in Japan you can pre-order a cab, especially for pregnant women. So you sign up online and you tell them when your due date is, where you live, and where you want them to transport you.
Amazing. What a cool service. No, I haven't heard
it before. It's so convenient, and it's not really, it's everything in Tokyo is expensive, but this is not that expensive. So very convenient. And when you call them, or my husband called them, they already knew everything because they had his number, right? So you didn't even need to explain in Japanese what the situation is about.
That's so good. So
worry less. Yeah. So it. At that time, I was already quite, and the waves were quite intense. So in the cab, I was in the back of the car, kneeling
on all fours, maybe, or yeah.
And the ride was a half hour, and when we got there at maybe 9 p.m., there were two midwives, the one director who speaks English, another one who doesn't speak English or not that much. And they were already, it was very cute because they were already outside of the house and waiting for us and welcoming us. And I could not walk that great. And the director would put her hand on my lower back and push on it or massage it a little bit. And we were not even yet in the house, and it was very sweet.
That is so sweet.
Yeah. And yes, of course, that's my husband was with me. That's the reason also why we switched to the birth center. So that was very nice for me. For the first examination, he had to stay outside of the room, but that was okay. He could come in a few minutes later. So we were together in the room, in the tatami room, in the traditional Japanese.
Yeah, right. And so did she do an internal vaginal examination? Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes.
And what did she find?
Well, she said I was 7 centimeter dilated.
Beautiful. Wow.
And at that point, maybe it's normal, maybe not. I things kind of start to be blurry for me. Because I was so focused on breathing, and I know the position I was in, we tried a few positions, switched, I could do everything I wanted, I felt comfortable with, but in the end I was just laying on the side, on the floor, and I would put up my one leg in the air, kind of like a dog, but that was the position that I felt most comfortable.
Yeah, and a lot of women end up in that, naturally lying on their side and also birthing on their side like that. So you just followed your intuition, and that was the one you were most comfortable in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the reasons why I felt so comfortable at the birth center, because at the hospital where we were before, they told me I would be... when it comes to giving birth, I have to lay down on the table, you know. So I already felt it that maybe it's not the right thing when you want to follow your instincts and yeah. You want to act kind of like an animal or do whatever you feel like, you know, either it's dancing or shouting or any position you want to try.
Yeah, absolutely, that you're free to do whatever you feel guided to do.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So when you say that, you know, you were on 7 centimeters and you said at that time you started to feel a bit like out of worldly maybe, or a bit not as present, or that's quite, you know, common at that stage, sometime around the stage of being around 7 centimeters. Women can go into an altered state of consciousness and that kind of transition phase. You know, some it happens when they're 9 centimeters, for some it's earlier at 7, 8. Obviously, sometimes we don't know where you are and you go into that stage. So, you know, it doesn't really correlate. But somewhere around that time when the cervix is that open, you tend to also feel more spiritually aware or more open or more spacey or whatever you want to put, you know, a label on it.
Yeah, I felt like, exactly like you say, like being kind of in trance. I also did for preparation hypnosis, not just the hypnobirthing, but hypnosis. So I really thought I was in this kind of state what I practiced before. And yes, so that was helpful because I didn't, during the waves, I didn't talk. And my husband said it seemed like I was sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I knew exactly I can't, I won't be talking. You know, I need this energy for every wave and for my baby. And, when I said earlier I wanted a midwife or a doctor who speaks English, you know, English is not my mother tongue, it's German, and I wasn't even able to say something in English. I would just throw bits and bytes in German to my husband, like a switching position or like water or turn. not a whole sentence, just like a few words.
Yeah.
To save the energy, which worked out good. not too much talking.
Brilliant. You shouldn't really be in that mind anyway. You shouldn't switch on your thinking brain. You should just be in that instinctual, intuitive place. Yeah.
And it's also funny because I prepared for giving birth. I prepared like my iPod for music. I prepared like aromatherapy. I had pictures that like a picture of some flowers are supposed to show the cervix, you know, how it opens up. And I had all this in my bag, but my husband gave it to me, but I didn't want any of this. I didn't need it. So I was just breathing. But coming closer to an end, even though I did all the preparation and the exercises before and the meditation, my husband said I was quite tense there, like with my shoulders and my neck. And my midwife then said, keep your head back, because I would always go like this, you know, through the waves later on. And then I thought, if I hadn't done all the preparation, and it would be like so much more difficult, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It really helps to have done some practice before and to know some different tools and techniques that can be your anchor, that you can really focus on, that can help you through, especially in the real kind of full-on end, when you can sometimes feel like you're being overcome by these really huge tidal waves. And yeah, it's important to have that breath and that inner focus at that point.
Yeah, so about midnight, that's where it got really intense. And my husband said also I was sweating a lot. They changed my pyjama, and they kept me drinking water. And then the midwife also said, we have to go to the toilet. And I thought the toilet was maybe 10 meters away. And I thought, how in the world am I going to get there? But, you know, they helped me and they made me go pee. And
really important, actually. It's a very good thing that she did that, because sometimes not peeing, you can hold a lot of urine in there, and it can actually keep the head from descending, and it can keep the labor going longer, so it can prolong the labor. It's a very important thing. Go to the toilet, preferably every 2 hours at least. Yeah,
it's nice. So the midwives know what they are doing.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. And also in between, they what I also liked, they put their knee, they pressed it against my lower back. No?
The knee.
I was on my four, and then one of the midwives came and put their knee, they pushed it against my lower back. They first tried it with a tennis ball, but then they used like their knee, and it kind of released so much pain, you know, so much pressure.
What is their knee?
A knee, elbow knee.
Her knee, okay, yeah.
Knee. Sorry. Yeah, that was also very helpful.
Wow, so she put a knee on your lower back.
Mm-hmm. And in between, she also said, maybe my husband can do it. And then he did it, but I don't know. I didn't like it, maybe because he's so tall and the Japanese women are rather small like me. Yeah. So I liked it better when they did it.
And maybe they know the technique, how to kind of put the pressure on there correctly or something, that you just don't know when you don't know.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice. And then, that was nice. Releasing.
As nice as it can be when you're...
Yeah. It was very calm. I liked the atmosphere at the birth center, because there was nobody else. And I was mourning. I was the only one doing the noise and the sounds. And the midwives were very calm. And my husband didn't say anything. So the atmosphere was so peaceful. And I can't now, now that I had this experience, I think I could never go back to a hospital if there's not an emergency. But yeah, it was just, I think, and it was night that helped too. No noise. Yeah. Well, at least for me.
Yeah, most natural births, most babies are born during the night, or you labor during the night and you have your baby in the early morning.
Yeah. Yes. So what happened next? I know it maybe 1 o'clock. I had this one moment when I said, I was thinking, okay, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to ask if they have any kind of medication for me to release the pain. And you know what? I didn't have energy for it, so I didn't ask for it. Because I put so much energy on the breathing and on my body that I couldn't ask for it. And anyways, it happened without anything. They wouldn't give me anything because they didn't have anything besides the juice.
The juice.
Yeah, so we also went in the last hour on the birthing chair.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, we tried a few positions there, and at the very end, it was at 2 a.m., the midwife said, okay, I can see the head, just 3 more pushes and you are done, and the baby's there. And I was actually standing, I was on a birthing chair, but then I was standing up and the baby came, our daughter came.
Wow, so you were birthing while you were standing. Did you stand by yourself or were you holding on to something?
I think I was holding on to maybe my husband. Yeah, and the other midwife.
Okay.
And then they did, at the beginning I had a birthing plan and I put all these things that were important to me, like skin to skin, don't take the baby immediately away and all that. And because our daughter came so early, I didn't give them the birth plan. But anyways, it turned out they did everything like we wanted it. And they put her immediately on my breast. And she had this colostrum. It's called
colostrum.
Yeah, the first milk. Mm. And they didn't wash her. They left us, I think, 2 hours alone in the room. And before they came back to do, I don't know, they need to do something.
And during that time, did you birth the placenta as well?
Yes. I already forgot about that. Yeah, I know. She said, okay, we have the placenta also. I remember I didn't want her I wanted to keep it, a little bit, to come naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they gave us some time for it too. For the placenta to be born, and at first I thought I can't do that, you know. I'm so done now, I need a break, but actually it was a piece of cake after giving birth, so it was not too bad.
How long time did it take, do you remember, until you had your placenta?
I think 25 minutes.
Beautiful. That's all natural and normal. Yeah. And then you just snuggled with your baby and your husband. Beautiful that they had that practice of just leaving you undisturbed so you could initiate breastfeeding and just be in your little bubble. Beautiful.
I really appreciate that, how their natural approach. And when I think back, it was mostly just by coincidence I fell into this, let's say, birth center. And I wish for all pregnant women out there, they could at least, have a look at it and maybe also experience a natural birth, because from what I hear, it's so much more peaceful and, you don't even need an epidural or, I don't know, any vacuum or any other thing.
Yeah, usually a birth center and a home birth are very similar because they have the same equipment at home as you do at a birth. Mm-hmm. And so it's that feeling of hominess, and it's more, yeah, it's more coming into maybe someone else's home if it's not in your own home. Obviously, birth center is like coming to someone else's home a lot of the time. It's more homey. There's, you know, maybe pictures on the walls, and there's a bathtub sometimes. So there's, you know, yeah, more that homey feeling. And you know that, you know, it's evidence-based research shows us that women giving birth in a more of a homey atmosphere where they feel more safe and calm, as you say, it's dark and it might be, you know, fewer people around. It might just be your partner and maybe a couple of midwives or the people you choose, and it's more conducive for birthing. And women,
yes, totally.
As well. Yeah.
Agree. Yeah, so and even afterwards in Japan, you stay 5 to 6 days in a hospital or in a birth center. Yes, exactly.
Wow, okay, beautiful.
So different. And I know when I heard it first, and I know from all the other pregnant international women here in Tokyo, like, oh my God, 5 to 6 days, and I want to go home earlier. But really, the care here, also not only in the birth center, but at the hospital, the care of the midwife and the food and everything is so good that you feel, I know actually some women who extended also their stay because the midwife would help them with breastfeeding, they would take care of a baby, and they really would help you to get back your energy and
resources.
Yes.
I love that. I think that's a beautiful thing to be able to choose. Obviously, it depends on the woman and her family and everything. But gosh, especially as a first-time mama, to feel cared for with someone bringing you food and you can just, yeah, rest and bond with your baby and
get
that special one-on-one care, especially if it's a birth center. I mean, here in Australia, you can, you know, stay 1 or 2 nights usually after you've had a baby. And but it's not really the same. It's quite busy on the ward and you don't really get that one-on-one care. And the food is, you know, hospital food. It's nothing special because you've had a baby, which should be, you know, definitely very rich in nourishing food. And it's more kind of coming in and doing your observations. And it's focused on the medical side of other maybe people around you then that had maybe a medicalized birth. And, you know, you don't really get that nourishing care that you need, that one-on-one. Tell us about the aftercare. I'm so curious to hear about that.
Well, yeah, as I said, I had to stay 5 days in the birth center.
So you have to. It's actually something that's not voluntary. You have to stay.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
I know during COVID, they made exceptions that because, you know, in the hospitals, the husband can visit or be there. And that's the reason why most of the hospitals said, okay, you can leave after 2 days, but a midwife will come to your house. In my case, they wouldn't leave me or let me go before. But I felt so good at the birth center that I even stayed one more day. No, the care was just amazing. And even more for women who are abroad and don't have their family or their friends who could help, it was just a blessing to be at the birth center. One part I really liked was the very, very healthy food. Lots of vegetables. It wasn't vegetarian. There were also some bites of meat or fish, but most of it was vegetables and rice. And funny fact, after when I left the hospital, I was already back to my normal weight. But I also have to say I just gained 6 kilos, which is not that much. It was just so healthy. So I guess I got the good nutrition. The other thing I really liked was that they put so much emphasis on breastfeeding. I had troubles with breastfeeding at the beginning. I had an infection, there was blood, and but they really, as it was possible, as far as it would be possible, they forced me to breastfeed. Well, they forced me. They really advised me to breastfeed. It was a bit painful, I have to admit, at the beginning, but now looking back, I'm very glad that they helped me so much.
Yeah,
because I know when we would go home after 1 or 2 days and I had so much pain, I would just say, sorry, I can't do that. We have to buy formula.
Yeah.
But because they were there, they took care of me, they took care of the baby. I just had to lay in bed and relax. It was wonderful.
That's exactly what you should be doing postpartum. You should just be resting and sleeping and eating healthy and bonding with your baby and establishing breastfeeding. Yeah.
And so our daughter woke up like maybe every 1 or 2 hours at the birth center. And because I had so much trouble, I would call them at night every time she woke up and they were just there. And I never had the feeling I annoy them, but they were just so caring, you know.
Mm.
And that's something I like here. And from other girls here in Tokyo, I know it's the same care in the hospital, that they are just really caring and really trying to help you, not just doing their job.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
That is beautiful. I love that. That's how it should be everywhere. I do think it should be voluntary, though. I don't think it should be mandatory.
Yeah,
well, but I definitely think that that should be an option for all mamas to choose to have that kind of care. It should be given to all women. We're really bad in the Western culture, very, very bad at caring for women postpartum. It's a big problem. Yeah.
So we had such a great experience here in Japan. We said, if we want to have another baby, it's just going to be here in Japan. Even though, I don't know how it's in Australia, but in Germany or in Europe, healthcare is free. Mm-hmm. So having a baby doesn't cost anything. And here it cost us about 5,000 euros.
Wow. Holy moly.
Because pregnancy is not considered as a sickness. Which is, of course, it's not a sickness, so it's not under the health care.
And is that also for Japanese women? They have to pay that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That must be really hard if you don't have, you know, if you're not a wealthy person, that must be very hard.
Yeah, it is. And here they also have the same problem, like probably in a lot of other countries, that there are a lot of elderly people, but not as many babies. And they started to help financially. So we got also financial aid from the state. But anyways, the rest of the amount we still had to pay was the 5,000 euros.
Wow.
A hospital would be even more expensive.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Here's the opposite. Here's like, you know, there are publicly funded home births and birth centers, but there's also the, you know, privately funded as well. The hospital is free here. Wow, I think that is, if they want to have more babies, they should definitely not make it that expensive to be able to have a baby.
Yeah, it's also like, they have the problem here that they don't have enough, not enough babies, not enough of this younger generation. But when I look at it, for example, the nursery is very expensive too. It's free for people who work both full-time, but I don't want to work full-time because I want to spend time with my baby or with my child.
Yeah.
And then we have to pay the whole amount by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the downside of it. But you have to look at the positive sides.
Oh, absolutely. I guess that's with every country. There's different things that are beautiful and some things that need some work.
Correct, yes.
So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice or pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would advise her to read a lot about it, about the process of giving birth, to do a lot of research, to find the right methods to prepare for giving birth. It doesn't have to be for every woman the same method, can be different. So it's good to know all the different methods and to find a place to give birth where you really feel comfortable. And when your intuition already, or the voice in your heart or head is already saying it's not the right thing, then listen to it and make further research and find the right place where you feel good and cozy, and where you can let go yourself, and also to surround yourself with positive birth stories. What I also did, I looked a lot of animals on YouTube giving birth, you know, said, okay, how do animals do it? It can't be that far from us.
Oh, brilliant. I know another mama who did that as well. She didn't watch women give birth. She watched animals. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You did the same. You found that helpful.
Yeah, cats or dogs. No, cat. I looked at a birth video of a cat or a cow.
Love it.
It was funny, but it helped.
It helps because they usually just come out, don't they? They just slip out.
Yes, exactly.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your natural birth story and for sharing a bit of the Japanese way of having a baby.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Anna, and thank you for all your work. And I think it's so lovely that you help other women and spread the wisdom of natural birth. I think it's very important and helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.